everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics Podcast, a show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. And today, Jim Gibbons is joining me, Joey Groh, to talk with a current Comics Experience enrollee who has done multiple Comics Experience classes as well as had multiple books published. It's Frank Gogol. And specifically, Frank, this kicked off your new series, Dead End Kids, has been announced, and that kind of got the ball rolling and for us having a conversation of what could we have a conversation about that might be useful for the listeners. And I think from there, it kind of sparked a couple different directions with Jim adding some thoughts about what I think brings a lot of people to a place like Comics Experience or starting to look for a comics community. And that seemed like a good place to start. So maybe, Frank, a little bit about your background and what led you to even wanting to make comics. And then from there, we can get into a little bit more Comics Experience related stuff.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, first of all. I wanted to make comics because I liked cartoons. It's like the easiest way to put it. I was born in 1987, so I caught the tail end of the Ninja Turtles cartoon that started running in 87, and then that sort of segued me into X-Men in the early 90s and Spider-Man and Batman the Animated Series. And then I eventually found my way to the comics that these things sort of sprung from in the late 90s. And then I sort of fell off for a bit until I was in high school. I think I was 2006, I was a senior, and Marvel Civil War was about to start. So Andy was affecting me long before I even met him. I was super interested in Spider-Man. They debuted the chrome, gold, and red costume. And I was like, I gotta go check this out. And I read it, and I ended up buying all the tie-ins for Civil War and wasting a lot of money. I was sort of sucked in after that. I've been a weekly reader of probably 20 books ever since. Like, and that's when I saw what comics could do and sort of combined that with like my love of writing that I was developing in my teenage years. Like, I was like, I want to do this. And that's sort of how I got into comics.
Nice.
Yeah. So sorry, I was going to, can I chime in, Joey?
Please kick it off.
So I thought it's kind of an interesting thing that I wanted to set up here, because I think Frank kind of, as Joey, you mentioned, you know, Frank, you emailed, you're kind of like, hey, I got this new book out. Maybe there's something we can do on the podcast, which I think is a very good, I know you work in your day job as a marketer. It's a very good marketing notion. And I'm sure we could, if we don't talk about it here, we could talk, you know, at some point a lot about marketing comics. I think that's a good lesson, is sometimes you just put something out there and you see what happens. And now we're all here recording and going to talk about your book. But but kind of to take it back from that, you mentioned right before we kick this off that you took your first Comics Experience class in 2016, which is relatively recent, right? So we're looking at kind of the last few years of a new career. And so I kind of wanted to look at that, because I think you're at a really interesting point where you've definitely put in the work and now you're starting to see some of the results, but you have put in clearly a lot of work, because you had like a lot of traction pretty quickly. So yeah, looking at kind of the genesis of your first few years here, I think when it comes to like beginning that process of coming into Comics Experience, you know, where did that begin for you? Were you writing stuff and it just didn't feel like it was working right? Did you feel like there was a lot you didn't know about the industry, so you were seeking out answers? Like, where did you kind of begin that process of going, how do I actually do this as a job?
The very beginning of it was when I picked up that, I think it was Spider-Man 527 or 528, and I fell in love with comics for like the first time. And at the same time, I wanted to become some kind of a writer. I really enjoyed like the things that books could do. I remember, you know, Their Eyes Were Watching God was a book that really sort of showed me what fiction could do and like what metaphor could do. And I wanted to do that. And comics was this medium that sort of spoke to me. So from about the time I was 18 and all the way through, I think, my second master's degree, I was sort of moving the pieces around on the chessboard, trying to create the perfect education for myself that I thought would apply to comics. So I went to a high school that had block scheduling that let me take a lot more English classes and a lot more advanced writing classes. When I got to college, I studied English and creative writing. I ran my school's newspaper so I could learn graphic design and layout and stuff like that. I did a graphic design minor. I did a journalism minor. I went to grad school twice for creative writing, once for sort of general creative writing, and once for poetry. And like, so it's all these things that I thought that would really helped me hone my skills, learn to pare down, and to sort of expand ideas on the page. And I graduated with my second master's in January of 2012. And then I did exactly nothing between then and the end of 2015. So it was close to 4 years. I sat there and talked a lot about making comics and not made a lot of comics. I would every once in a while get sort of a false start trying to write a script or jotting some ideas down, and I'd have like a week of traction and I'd fall off. And while all this was happening, I met my now fiance, and we started dating and we moved in together, and I hated my job. And I sat down with her one day and I was like, look, I hate this thing. I don't want to do it anymore. And yeah, I don't know what I want to do. And she sort of stopped me mid conversation. She said, just quit. Find something that you want to do. We'll figure it out. And it was sort of that uncompromising support that sort of said, I'm gonna go all in on comics. I'm gonna fish or cut bait. I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna stop talking about it and find something else. And that's when I signed up for the intro class with Andy. And that's sort of how this ball got rolling.
Well, and so I'd be interested. So I mean, you clearly, you're talking about a lot of what you've done to kind of study the craft or set yourself up for comics before you even got into comics. And I definitely I think I had like similar aspects of my background too, where I was like, I don't know exactly what I want to write, but I know it's writing or editing or something. And I was studying a lot of different things. But when you kind of got into that first class, I'd be curious. If there's anything particular that like was kind of not gelling for you when you sat down to write, and then actually getting into essentially learning from people who have done it, like began to show up and you started to put together those connections to put the skills that you were already kind of developing together to actually set yourself in motion.
You know, I think that I had the skill set, and I think a lot of people do have a lot of the skills in their toolbox already. It's about seeing how to organize them sort of chronologically when it comes to making the comic. Like Andy's intro class walks you through a very basic, start with your log line and develop through that 5-page story and all the stuff in between. And as we were doing it for the 6 or 7 weeks of the class ran, I was like, oh, I've done this before and I can do this. But sort of the organizing principle of how to develop from start to finish was sort of one of the two things that really did it for me. I was able to start to do the beginning, middle, and end by the end of that class. But the other thing was just having that finished script and knowing that somebody whose opinion I respect, said it. Andy told me that he liked the story, that it was good. And like, I didn't think he was, building me up or anything. I believed him. And having that little bit of a push from somebody who knows more about this than I did gave me the confidence to have a little faith in myself. And I think that's something a lot of people really lack. They don't think that what they're doing is good. They get the imposter syndrome that they don't belong in comics, or they're not good enough. And like working with Andy helped me start getting out of that space.
So this is just like a morbid curiosity thing, because I've worked with writers who have done kind of nothing but comics. I've worked with screenwriters or novelists who have then come and needed to learn a lot of the lessons of a comic script. But do you feel like you were learning simultaneously like high level storytelling concepting? And this is not, and I don't mean this in like a please just tell everyone how great CE courses are. I mean more like as you came to, I mean, by all means do that as well. But I think it's one of those things where I'm always curious how people kind of how it starts to come together for them. You know, like for me, when I started to really learn and understand comics as an editor, it's from reading, it's often from reading scripts by very good writers, and you'd start to look at what they were doing like panel by panel, in the descriptions, in the dialogues, the little ground level stuff they were doing. But then at the same point, you would see people who had scripted 30 issue series before, and they would be setting up stuff in issue one that they would then pay off in issue three and all that. So, I found I was, I'm one of the lucky few who got to use editing as my crash course in learning how to, construct comics. But when you started going through that, do you feel like it was a little bit of both, a little bit of the ground level stuff started to put together and then the high level stuff came together, or kind of what do you think your mental process on the learning was a little bit?
I had a lot of tools in the toolbox that I didn't know how to use in comics yet. An example of that was when I was doing my first master's degree, I had a professor named Dr. Waters, who's one of the great modern American poets, and you know, I'd studied poetry with him. And he would have us do these things called annotations, and they were essentially homework assignments where we would read a poem or a short story or whatever we were looking at that week, and we'd write a two-page analysis about some aspect of it, and then a one-page analysis about how we could apply that to our writing next time we went to write. And I wasn't really sure how to like approach using something like that in comics. A couple years later now, it was really obvious to me that you just sit and read the book, pick something about it, write about why it works, and you know, write about how it might be applied. But without like Andy's guidance, and honestly, all four of the CE classes I've taken with Andy, Paul, and now Fred Manlente, like I've sort of seen their different styles and their different approaches and the different knowledge they have from their various, you know, types of careers and career lengths. And it's helped me sort of, again, organize these things that I had and that I think a lot of people really do have. We live in a very sort of story savvy time right now where people aren't really surprised by things on TV because they expect them. But if you expect it, that means you understand the mechanics of like that setup and that payoff. And it, and a lot of us have all this stuff, but like knowing how to apply it and to understand what's been applied and then replicate it is where I was sort of struggling before I started the classes. And like I said, working with Andy and Paul and Fred has really help me start seeing the various ways to apply those kinds of things, if that makes sense.
No, it does totally. In fact, Fred was one of my favorite writers for a long time in comics, and I was lucky enough to then leverage that into getting to work with him a bunch at Dark Horse. I was like, this guy's great, we should hire him. And then we did a bunch, and it was awesome. But Fred is one of those writers who I think is kind of like that. He's got such like a mastery of every little piece of putting comics together that I do think you begin to see the way he uses the tools of storytelling. And I was lucky to be behind the scenes a lot with that. And then you start going, oh yeah, like, okay, he's doing this here. And then he's grabbing this thing and he's kind of putting it in here. And you know, it was, and then it was often Fred is a genius at this, but he takes something that you know, that you have an expectation for. And then he's like, and now I'm just going to twist it. Or I'm going to push it a little farther.
Yep.
And I thought that was one of the most interesting things of working with him, is you started to go, oh, you know what? Sometimes you don't have to build everything from the ground up. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not a musician, but my understanding of music, maybe this is probably going to be a horrible metaphor. My understanding of music is like, if you kind of understand like some scales and things like this, things that make sense, then you can kind of build and do things off of it. Right. And I think that's kind of where the knowledge and getting into the trenches on scripts when it comes to writing are oftentimes, you know, the similar trenches that you get into when you actually start penciling a page and you go scene by scene, you know, as opposed to just doing pinup art come to the surface.
Yeah, I mean, the simplest way to put it is the obstacle is the way. Like, you learn to make comics by making comics, even if it's just writing scripts and not seeing it through to the lettered stage. But like, you looking at scripts and writing scripts helps you become a better script writer.
Which is also a good description of why I never became a musician. Because I did not do that. And that's why I don't know. That's why I don't know. Joey, do you have, I feel like I'm monopolizing the question asking. Do you have any questions over there? Any thoughts?
No, I think you got a great through line. And I think the only thing that really jumped out at me, Jim, with your background on the editing side as well as the writing side, I was kind of curious if what Frank has talked about is something that, and it might not have been at your level, because I think you've worked with folks at different stages in their careers, but maybe not, or maybe you have seen any kind of commonality with folks that, like you mentioned, maybe transitioning from different mediums or just getting started as far as a learning curve, things that they were working through and started to get, because like you were both saying, until you're writing scripts or I assume drawing and lettering and coloring as well, you kind of don't get it. And the first time I had a friend do thumbnails for a script I wrote was one of the most lightning strike moments of making comics, where I said, oh, this is everything I did wrong, because I got to see somebody try to work with what I had said and what I had written and rewritten and went, oh, I am Yeah, I've got all I am is Captain Exposition. I've got to kill so much of this. I have to, it's we were talking earlier offline, this should have been your page six. This should have been your getting to the point. And that's the thing that I heard somewhat frequently was this should have been your page five or six. Why isn't this your page five or six? Why are you wasting 4 to 8 more pages and getting there? So I guess that was the thing that, Jim, from what you've seen with newer writers or newer folks coming in on the art side, are there common kind of learning curves or tracks that people are on?
Well, I think the interesting, and it kind of it, this actually dials back into a lot of kind of as Frank was saying, it's like you have to kind of make comics to understand how to do comics. And I know for sure, as we were talking about with like this should have been your page six instead of your page 22 or something like that. That's definitely something that I did wrong as an editor on a book. I someone had their page 22 that was like the hook of the book, and I was like, afterwards, I was like, this never clicked for an audience. We could never market this the right way. There were all sorts of ways where we kind of buried the lead of our story, and that put us in a hole from day one. And that was one of those things where I immediately started going, man, how do I fix this? How do I talk to writers and creators better about this in the future? Because I didn't have the tools at the time. I didn't quite understand. I was like, I knew something wasn't quite working, but it felt like it was getting better in every draft. And then I realized, oh, that's what it was. Like this was a conversation that would have required a lot more work and a rewrite and all that, but it probably would have made for a more successful book. And I think what it boils down to, and going once again back to a lot of stuff that Frank is talking about, it's like I think the commonality of people that I usually see reach success and improve their skills more quickly, and it's a very obvious one, is they're just people that are willing to learn as they go. They're people that are never kind of like shutting down feedback, shutting down notes and all this. And to kind of kick it back to what I was talking about with when I worked with Fred, who, Fred was a master comics writer when I was like the kid who was editing him, basically. And he was always incredibly gracious with my notes. And oftentimes, if they were good notes, he would go, okay, cool, I can make the story better. This is just, objective eyes on my story. We're both working towards the same goal of a better book. But if my note was not good, he would say, hey, this is what I think. And we had a good relationship there, but it was never, like what I think often the bad relationships are, or the people who don't improve, where they're like, no, I know what I'm doing. There's no notes that can help me. And that's, I think, a bad attitude. And I think the ability to learn is often the number one best thing you can have on your side if you want to get into writing probably anything.
Yeah, that's a very good way to sum it up. And Frank, with your background, the writing side of things, I think back to having AP English, and that prepared me for college in a way that at the time I didn't understand. And mostly it was just writing quickly and being able to analyze what I had written. And it was something that just saved me from so much, I think, of a hard learning curve that I would have had to have figured out otherwise, because it was such a different pace. Your work that you're doing now, and maybe now's a good time to introduce Dead End Kids and talk a little bit about that and how that came to be. The stuff that I've at least seen from you has an interesting range to it. It seems like you are drawing on, and I mean this in the best possible sense, different experiences or different thoughts, and those are what are becoming your comics. That it's the some write what you know. You talked about your love of cartoons and animation already from the 90s, and I know Dead End Kids is set in the 90s. And when I first saw the cover and the iconography for it, maybe you can direct folks where to go to check it out if they haven't seen it. I thought, oh, that's a really great idea. Like, it's very simple, straightforward, but I felt like just from a glance, you get a flavor of what this could be, especially with that title.
Well, just to talk a little bit about the book, Dead End Kids is it's a story about three kids in the late 90s trying to solve their friend's murder. So imagine sort of Stand By Me meets the Hardy Boys, but with a darker, grittier 90s sort of edge to it. It's more violent than you'd imagine a Hardy Boys book. It's dealing with some darker topics. Sort of at its core, it's a story about these kids who all come from messed up homes and who have sort of found each other and sort of rely on each other for stability, and what happens to that stability when one of them is murdered and they start to spiral out without sort of that fourth, anchor there. And I don't know. I mean, I stole that cover from Victor Santos, I won't lie. I was a big fan of Violent Love, and I took the Violent Love cover and I started designing something that I thought looked like it, because I wanted to do a crime book and sort of a murder book. And this is what I ended up with. So it sort of tweaked along the way. But yeah, I like Victor's style a lot. And I'm not an artist, but I do design, and had this idea. So I worked with artist Chris Mad to sort of do this graphic of the four kids leaning up against, you know, a dead end sign, and using a really sort of templated cover that's got some white space on it. And so the logo pops, and lots of little things that I think look good on a cover. It doesn't look like a lot of other covers that hits the stands, but so maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I look for. Like, you know, the best Jonathan Hickman books have that. Victor's books have that. Some of the Rick Remender books that I love look in this vein. So that's sort of where that came from. As for the story itself and my storytelling, my first book, Grief, that came out last year, was a short story collection of a bunch of genre stories, each dealing with the five stages of the grieving process. And, you know, I'm very open about that. I haven't had like a very stable or great life, especially when I was younger. My mom had some drug problems and things were not always great at home. And that was the truth for a lot of my friends. And so a lot of that got channeled into Grief, but even more so into this book. Like, this book is really the story of me and my friends when I was growing up, and like that kind of feeling that I got when I started to get nostalgic when I turned 30 last year, or the year before rather. I started to remember, playing outside, being in by the time the streetlights came on, building forts in the woods, and like it was sort of very romanticized in my mind. But then I started to remember, you know, things weren't great after the streetlights came on and I went home. And that was the truth for a lot of my friends. And I remembered that we sort of relied on each other, very much like the kids in Stand By Me and The Sandlot and all these other coming of age stories like The Breakfast Club. But the thing that always pissed me off about those stories is at the end, you get this little black and white, you know, montage of prose about how the kids sort of grew up and grew apart. And yeah, so it's like, oh, they found each other, they spent the summer together, they all had problems, but they sort of fixed each other, and then they went on. And that wasn't my experience. Like, I'm still friends with the kids I grew up with. One of my friends from growing up, who one of the characters in the story is based on, is in my wedding in September. Like, it didn't feel genuine or honest to always have these kids, like, not have each other in the end. You know what I mean? So I wanted to write to that, and about, you know, like you said, what I know, but also talk about sort of the traumas of childhood and what it, you know, means to let those traumas determine who you become and how much, you know, agency you have in that decision.
So this is, I want to point out something here because Frank, the way you're talking about your book, I love hearing this, because I think one of the, when I throughout my entire career as an editor, one of the things I've often had a hard time with talking to people when they're crafting their story is a lot of people hear that, oh, write what you know thing. And they definitely are like, oh, well, here's a thing I know, but it's like a setting. Or it's something like that. But I think what people miss oftentimes is, you know, theme and sometimes story is not just like, it's not just setting, it's not just plot. It's like what you want to say with your story. And I love that, like, you're basically like, you know, you have a very good understanding of your story, where you're like, hey, here are my influences. Here are the things I want to, from my life, touch on and bring into a fictional story. Here is what it's about. It's not, and you're not giving us like a, hey, let me give you a long plot synopsis. You're telling us what it's about. And I think that's huge. And I think for folks listening, like that's one of those things I still run into pitches with people, longtime writers and brand new writers, where they're like, oh, here's my story, and they give me all this information about what happens, and I'm like, I need to know what it's about, you know, I need to know what's at the heart of it. So I think that's all fantastic, and I wanted to point that out. But sure, then also throw a question at you too, because one of the things that I'm kind of fascinated about, because you've kind of come in and in a few years you've gotten a lot done, which is hard to do, especially when you're doing independent comics. But aside from like storytelling stuff and things of that nature you've learned, now whether it's via comics experience or via just your own experience, what are some of like the additional challenges or on the job things that you've learned, whether it's project management related, whether it is writing or storytelling, or just, you know, working with other collaborators? Is there some stuff from that sticks out to you?
Yeah, definitely. So the one thing I wasn't ready for, like I spent a lot of time sort of preparing myself to be a storyteller, whether I was good at it or not at the time. I was always sort of building towards that in some way. I wasn't at all building towards the sort of business and practical side and the economics side of comics, like budgeting and project planning and networking and marketing. And like these are things that I sort of had to pick up over the course of the last 3 years. And some of it I had from working the various jobs I've worked, and some of it I've been able to sort of figure out on the fly. But like it's been a lot of reading books and reading the books a second time and underlining stuff and taking notes and then sort of looking for practical applications. Excuse me. Like right now I have a fairly grand marketing plan for Dead End Kids, which includes, podcasts and news coverage, and I have a list of 1,000 shops that I'm going to cold call and see, ask them if I can email them, and setting up a signing tour all the way down the West Coast. Like, and these are things that are, some of them are experiments. They might blow up in my face. It might end up costing me a lot of money, but that's sort of the only way to learn. You gotta put the time and effort and sometimes the money behind it to take the chance to see what works, because even failing is a lesson in what doesn't work. So then you can narrow the field of what might work. So yeah, like finance, marketing, budgeting, project management, like, I mean, there are an almost seemingly infinite number of skills you need beyond being a capable and competent artist or writer or letterer. And that is the part of comics that makes me wake up at 5 o'clock and go to bed at midnight. And, when I'm not at work from 10 to 6 or in the gym or spending a little bit of time with my very understanding fiance, like those are the hours I'm reading comics and writing those annotations I mentioned, or working on social media and figuring out like how to reach people and put this work in front of them. The other thing that is not so practical is the confidence side of things. To understand that what I create has value, maybe not for everyone, but it's not worthless. And I know a lot of people get stuck in that headspace, and I did too. But here's the thing: if you're Alan Moore and you don't put your work in front of people, at least have like the microcosm or the minis smallest portion of confidence to put it in front of another person and let them see how good it is. Doesn't matter. And that's true of social media and of networking. If you don't show people you have value, they'll never see you have value. And like, that was really hard for me to do, because who has built-in confidence? Nobody. And if they do, they're probably a sociopath.
It kind of has that vibe of like almost like what's probably like a therapy cliche where it's like, how is anyone going to love you if you don't love yourself? But at the same point, like there, it's true. Like if you can't, I used to tell people this a lot too. It's like if you can't sell people on your book, if you can't tell them what it's about or why you care about it, then they're not going to care about it. You know, like there's a lot of stuff out there that they can choose from. And so if you can't at least say, hey, I'm really proud of this book, or I did something interesting, or I think this is pretty good, you know, whatever it is, you don't have to pat yourself on the back too much, but I think you gotta at least stand by it and go, hey, this is a good thing, you know, whether you think it's the best thing you've ever done or not, like that doesn't matter. Like, you know, you did it and you should be proud of it. And I think that if you can channel that, that's very helpful in marketing your book.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And if you write a book called Grief about really sad stuff and tell people that some of that stuff happened to you, they're definitely not going to tell you the book is bad. So it's a huge, huge confidence builder.
That's your number one tip for future creators. Just
Right.
make people slightly uncomfortable so they give you compliments.
You know
I'm
what?
sure all the compliments were genuine, Frank.
On some level, what you just said is actually true. Like, I think part of what my mission statement as a comic writer is to be a character first writer, but also somebody who willingly and purposefully engages with topics that people don't engage with enough in comics, like what it's like to have a handicapped kid, or to lose a loved one, a parent, or deal with people with mental illness. Like, these are things that don't get talked about enough, but they're also the things that are people feel about in a certain way, like maybe not everybody, but somebody. And feeling for these characters, that empathetic connection is the reason we keep coming back to stories. And I think that we don't have enough comics like that. And not that I'm making the best comics like that, but I'm trying. And I think that really speaks to people.
I agree with you. I think the thing is, and you're talking about like a little bit more like grounded real world ways in which to do that storytelling, but the same thing applies to any sort of space opera, any sort of horror comic, any sort of, like high fantasy. If you don't care about the characters and if you don't feel some sort of empathy for the people in the story, I mean, that's not going to keep you coming back month after month. There's things that might interest you. There's plot devices that you might find intriguing, so maybe you read for a little longer than you might have otherwise. But I think you can track it back to at movies you like, TV you like, any sort of storytelling. If you don't care about the characters, it's harder to keep going. And when the barrier of entry to keep going in comics is like, it's a little bit of a higher price point to pay a few bucks monthly to do that. It's and you have to go to a store or get online to a different app or whatever it is. It's hard to do that, so you got to give the reader as much incentive to do it, and empathy characters they can empathize with are huge in that regard.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And I think that also, I feel like, and this might just be me, re-emphasizing the plot versus story, and it is tricky to put yourself out there, and at least my upbringing and myself in general. But I know whenever I run into friends or meet up with friends or get to know people, the stories that, we're often trading are the ones that are the failures or the the moments that aren't the best moments, because, it's all the same things that you guys have talked about. And it's interesting, Frank, to hear you talk about where you started reading comics, how you got into comics, what kind of sparked your interest, and where you've taken them in a way that does feel like it's something that, I don't know, maybe it's where, your eyeballs get what you see as far as what stories people are telling, but the stories that you're telling are not the ones I feel like you do see every day. And that alone, I think, is super interesting, that that's how you're currently creating comics, and what you've put out so far is a lot of deeply personal stuff, and coming from a place that, people can relate to, even if they don't have the same kind of details. And I think that that's, like what Jim was saying, sometimes the compelling story, maybe it's something that, I have no point of reference for or background in, but it translates to this thing in my life, and it has a different kind of impact and a different kind of grabbing you than other stuff. With kind of your, if we look at your start to where you are now as far as going to comics, and thinking about the idea of the show, and talking to people that are new to making comics or at different points in their make comics career, is there anything that you would want to have as a couple of takeaways for folks as far as, wow, Frank's got a couple books out, look what he's doing, as far as what you would give them in terms of advice, or just share from your experience as far as, oh, I wish I'd known this 3 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I could talk all day about the different bits of wisdom I've picked up and will continue to pick up, I'm sure. But the most important thing for me, and it's the thing I tell every writer I meet at a convention who says they want to write something, is like just sit down and do it. Like, and I know that sounds really like oversimplified, but that's what it is. Like, sit down every day and do some amount of work towards the goal, right? I try to tell people to imagine it like one of those big water cooler jugs. My grandpa, when I was growing up, had one of those, and he'd put change in it so that he could, when my sister was of age, buy her a car. And for 16 years until she got her permit, he put a little bit of change in it every day. Never more than a dollar, I don't think. And most days it was just a couple of pennies. And I'm like, look, you could read one comic and study it, analyze one page, write one page of script. Just do the bare minimum. And if it's 1% of what you need to get done in 100 days, you'll be done. If you do 5% a day, you'll finish 5 days early, and you can move on to the next thing and apply all the things you learned in the last 95 days. But it's sitting down and doing it is really the only way to do it.
I think that's there's the funny thing is, I was thinking about, I think at some point I saw some breakdown where it's like, if you wrote 300 words a day, then in 8 months you have like a,
60,000 page novel or something, right?
yeah, exactly, something like that. And I remember being like, oh my God, like
That's
it
like a
is, you
Facebook post every day.
I know. And I think the thing is, if you only think about the end goal, it can be incredibly daunting. And you know, there are definitely some horrible, horrible psychopaths out there who sit down and can just punch out 10,000 words a day and everyone hates them. But
yeah, F them.
But at the same point, like, you know, it's like, it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, if you can do that, great, do it. But most people can't. You know, most people who work in this industry for a living, that's not how they write. Most people who are earning a living as writers are not like able to write thousands and thousands of more words a day than anyone else. They sometimes struggle with it just as much. It's just about, you know, making sure you are putting in that work. And if you do it full time, awesome. You have 8 hours a day to do it or whatever it might be. If you don't, you still can, you know, carve out 15, 30 minutes, 45 minutes here and there, and then you just gotta stick with it, you know, like think of anything, getting in shape, building, doing some project, whatever it may be. It's like, rarely do you do things just once and then you're good to go. You know, it's about sticking with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Like, that's the cliche, and it's as true as any other cliche.
Is there, and maybe I'm sure we're getting close to this running long, but kind of jumping off that similar question, right? Like, if there was anything that you, and I think Joey maybe mentioned this, I just want to like really try and pull this out if there is something, but is there something that you wish you knew 3 years ago or even 1 year ago that you feel like you learned at some point that kind of like it clicked and you're like, man, I wish I knew this a while ago. It would have made a world of difference. That you could tell people now, I guess, you know, talking to new people is what that might help them.
Honestly, I'm going to just repeat myself here, but it's like, if you do the work, it'll get done. Like, and like I said, that seems really oversimplified, but like, a lot of people think breaking into comics is this really hard thing. And by no means is it easy. There are a lot of hoops to jump through, but it's not nearly as impossible as people want to believe it is or let themselves believe it is. It's if you make a book, then you can show it to an editor and the editor can then possibly approve it. You know, or tell you how to improve it. But like, if you don't do the work, you'll never break into comics. And I'm not even saying I'm broken in. I think I got my foot in the door. I'm peeking inside and I'm really thrilled with where I'm at right now. And I'm hoping to keep going forward and get that door open more. But that door doesn't start to open until you start putting words on page or lines on page or letters on page. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, like I said, just do the work.
But I think, and this is something I want to kind of focus on from what you just said a little bit too, because I think you bring up a good point here, right? Is it's not just, while it is like you got to do the work, it's also like every single day you can, or week or month or whatever it is, you can learn a little bit more about marketing that comic. You can send an email to somebody. You can send a direct message on Twitter to somebody. You can kind of like do some of those other things that are important to kind of get that work once it's done in front of the right people. And also, as you pointed out, you know, you finish that work, you have something, you have a reason to talk to people, and then you can actually spend some time not writing the next thing, but getting the thing you wrote or made in front of other people. So yeah, I think, I guess just, you know, keep in mind as well, right? Doing a little bit of something every day, there's progress to be made in a lot of different areas when it comes to building a career or getting a book published.
Yeah. And then the other thing to really keep in mind with that is you don't have to learn all of it right now. Like, I focused very strongly in my first year on learning to write and putting together Grief. Between December of 2015, when I enrolled for Andy's class, and December of 2016, when the last lettered page of the book came in, like, that was what I was working on. And I got myself a foundation where it became sort of second nature and I could do it. Yeah, you know, my first 5-page script took me 5 weeks, and now I can write a 5-page script in under an hour. Like, it's about building up those muscles. But then, like, once I was able to do those things more naturally and second nature, I was able to then focus on, you know, how do I pitch? How do I meet editors? So I started networking hard, and then this year has really been about really grasping the marketing side of things. Like I said, I'm gonna do, or I'm trying to do, a West Coast signing tour in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, LA, and San Diego. I'm trying to, you know, get to more conventions and put my book in people's hands and talk to them. Like, one of my favorite things about going to conventions is trying out a new pitch, because there's 1,000 people there who you can stop and talk to. Maybe none of them take the book, but you can start to see what works. And like, that's sort of, you know, the what's the word for it? try and fail of it. There's a
trial and error. Trial and error.
That's it. But yeah, and like you sort of refine things as you go. You experiment. You try something. If it works, you do it and find out how to scale it. You know, write faster, write more, or you see what didn't work and then you try a new thing. It's a lot of really basic concepts that yes, I can say are very basic concepts and that they aren't easily applied always, but they aren't so impossible to do as I think I was making them for myself and a lot of other writers and artists are making for themselves.
That makes sense.
Great. Thank God.
No, total sense. It's the paralysis by analysis. It's all those things like you, to take it to the start, was the organization and getting things kicked off. And I know that I had a similar experience, to use the comics experience trademark and copyright, in getting into doing comics too, because I was in a similar situation of talking about it, thinking about it for years, and just having something that propelled me forward beyond just reading scripts and starting to write scripts and not finishing scripts was really key. And especially, you know, to do that quick comics experience workshop plug, which you get access to if you do the classes, going to conventions, you had a built-in acquaintance base, if not friend base, to go and talk to people and get to know them a little bit better, which also made a huge deal of difference in getting to know people and just the camaraderie of it all. So having people to go to a show and get to know while they were at different stages of their career is also super rewarding. And you know, the isolation of comics is one thing, but I know Jim can attest to, and has mentioned, just Fred Van Lente alone, the team sport of it all, in trying to create the best comics that you can, and that's all the folks that you collaborate with. So I think it's a good place for me to ask Frank, where should folks come find you online? We got Dead End Kids coming out July 24th. You can pre-order that now through previews. Where else should folks go to learn more about what you've got going on or to follow you on social media?
Sure. If people want to pre-order the book, the Diamond Cord code is May 1919 08. If you want to see what I'm doing, you can follow me on social media. It's my name, Frank Gogol, FrankGogol, all one word. I'm on everything, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I like Instagram a lot, so that's probably where you'll see my best stuff. I definitely encourage anyone who's listening to this who likes what they heard or has questions, if just reach out. I want to be accessible because people were accessible to me and I want to pay that forward. Like if it wasn't for guys like David Pepos and Justin Jordan and Andy and Paul and all just being available to me, I wouldn't have been able to sort of thrive as much as I have in the last 3 years. And I want to be able to do that for other people. So if you have questions, definitely slide into my DMs, I think is what they say.
Yeah, we're all in the trenches together in a way, right? And it's like I think most people are happy to talk, so people should reach out. Reach out.
Yeah, 100%.
Joey, are you there?
Yep, sorry. I was on mute. I've been coughing a lot, guys. I was giving a nice wind-up for Jim Gibbons' newsletter. If you haven't subscribed to Jim's newsletter, you can get that through Jim's site. That's Jim, I'm going to let you do your plugs, but I think folks haven't signed up for your newsletter. They are missing out. Just the swearing alone, I feel like, is worth the price of admission.
That's the slogan. If you haven't done it, you're missing out. But no, yeah, on my website, it's thejimgibbons.com. /newsletter. You can sign up for my newsletter and full of writing and comics creation advice. And then I'm on Twitter and Instagram as at thejimgibbons.com. So you can follow me there. And as I just said, you know, reach out if you have questions or whatever. By all means, ask. I wouldn't be on social media if I didn't want to be social. That's what it's there for. So.
And to plug again the comics experience side of things, you can go to comicsexperience.com and see what courses are offered there and the workshop. I know Jim and Frank are on it. And talking different threads, was it, which isn't just all about comics. It sometimes is nothing about comics in the best possible way, and folks can talk in general about things that are going on, or ask very specific questions of people like Frank and Jim and Heather and Nicole and all the other folks that are over there at comicsexperience.com. If you haven't listened to the show before, we usually take questions or get a topic ahead of time, so it's a little bit of a different format and a great change up for us to be able to talk to Frank. But if you want to have a question discussed, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. We'll talk about it here on the show. Frank, thanks so much again for doing this. I know you've got a lot of other stuff going on, and Jim, you too. I'm waving at the West Coast virtually.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on. This is one of my favorite podcasts, so to be on the other side of the, speaker is it's awesome for me.
Excellent. Well, thank you for making the time and for doing it. And I am looking forward to Dead End Kids number one, so I know when it's coming out, and I know a little bit more about the background. All right. Well, if you're listening again, talk to these folks on social media, email us a question, tweet at us. Until next time, keep making comics.